Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. I see all of you online. Come on, give it up right now for our online worldwide podcast and media family. Love all of you. All right, well, I'm grateful for all of you. I just wanted to say that. And how many of you remember the video I showed you a few years ago? I think I showed it one time, of the water crystals and the Japanese water specialists and chemists that froze those after speaking over them, and how when they spoke words of contempt, the water crystals, they broke apart and they fragmented and they had a dark hole in them. They were not beautiful. But then when they spoke the words thank you or I love you or, you know, good words, what happened is not only did they freeze in complete pictures, but they had all these beautiful prisms and they continued to expand, and they were very, very beautiful to look at. And I brought in the truth that our body is over 80% water. And you think about what effect those words had on water. The Bible says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And that was a real eye-opener for me, because here science is proving that there is a frequency and a vibration to our words that either bring health or damage to our bodies. If it does that to water, it's doing that to us. Amen? And so thankfulness is a big deal in terms of staying healthy. And I'm not going to go into all of the benefits of it tonight. I could have given you a list, but I encourage you to go and look it up yourself. But psychiatrists know this, doctors know this, that people who are continually cultivating gratitude live healthier lives. They have lower blood pressure. They have less heart problems. They have a better life overall, emotionally and physically. And so there's something to this thankfulness. I was reading a blog by one of my favorite men on the planet, Pastor Apostle Dave Williams. He puts a blog out, but he said he met this guy years ago that was a lifeguard. He said a real Baywatch type. And he said he had rescued 223 people from drowning. 223. And only 3 of 223 came back to tell him thank you. That's 220 that did not. So I want to take us to a story in the Bible, one of my favorite stories about thankfulness, and just look at this and then give you a couple truths, and we'll take communion tonight. But I wanted to encourage you that gratitude is so important. It's important to the Lord. He actually required that they bring a thanks offering. But it's also seen right here more than just, I don't know, a gesture. It shows here in the Word of God that wholeness is attached to gratitude. Being whole. And in fact, it showed that in those water molecule tests, that, you know, words of contempt broke the water molecules apart. They could not come together. They could not be a whole unit. But gratitude actually not only brought them all together, but created a beautiful prism out of it. And so Jesus, in Luke 17, 11 through 19, he heals 10 lepers. Kind of feels like the lifeguard situation, but he's only dealing with 10. It says, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus passed through the border region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered one village, 10 men approached him, but they kept their distance, for they were lepers. As you know, people with leprosy were not allowed to be near anyone else. They were the untouchables. They were infectious, and they couldn't come near anyone. And so they were treated very badly. They were socially isolated. They were probably, you know, stoned, and people did whatever they had to do to keep them away from them, called names, all while their limbs are rotting off. You can imagine being a social outcast, not having the ability to have anyone near you or touch you, no physical touch. And what that does to your soul, the loneliness, the isolation, the heartache of being separated from your family and not being able to work. I mean, they probably had to scrape for whatever they could get, just whatever someone threw them to eat. Well, their situation was dire, and they were dying. And so I just preface all of that to say that a person that was a leper had more than a physical condition going on in their life. They had a lot of trauma, a lot of heartache, a lot of loneliness, a lot of social problems. And so these men came and they heard that Jesus was healing people. So they came together and they shouted to him, Mighty Lord, our wonderful master, won't you have mercy on us and heal us? They're asking for healing. When Jesus stopped to look at them, he spoke these words, go to be examined by the Jewish priests. And that's important to note. Jesus didn't lay hands on them. He could have. He touched a leper at another time. So he wasn't afraid to do it. But in this instance, he didn't go up and lay hands on them. He gives them an instruction. And what happens is they obeyed his instruction. At his word, they obeyed what he said, and as they went, it says they set off, and they were healed while walking along the way. All 10 of them were healed because they took Jesus at his word. One of them, a Samaritan, and that's important to note as well. So Jesus is sending them to a Jewish priest, but a Samaritan wouldn't have a priest. So it implies here that 9 of them were Jews. One of them was a Gentile. Well, we're considered Gentiles, not of Jewish descent, right? So he, I guess, went along with them. It says that they were healed along the way. One of them, a Samaritan, when he discovered that he was completely healed, turned back to find Jesus. Because Jesus was the only priest he had ever met. Shouting out joyous praises and glorifying God. So he finds Jesus in verse 16. He fell down at his feet and thanked him over and over, saying to him, you are the Messiah. In other versions, it says they said, Master. You know, Master, Teacher, Lord. So they recognized him as teacher. And they would call any teacher master. But they weren't recognizing him as God. This guy gets a revelation of him as God. Isn't this awesome? So he comes and he falls down at his feet and he's thanking him over and over and over again. And Jesus asks in verse 17, so where are the other 9? Jesus asks, weren't there 10 who were healed? They all refused to return to give thanks and give glory to God except you, a foreigner from Samaria. So he's not making a statement. He's asking a question. And, you know, Jesus kept expecting his family, the Jews, yeah, to recognize him and to be thankful for the things he did for them. And it was the members, let's just say it like this, it was the members of his own household. After taking or drawing from his power, from his anointing, from his gift, they get what they came for and they leave and they do not come back and say thank you. Now, I don't want to make you mad on Thanksgiving evening because you know where I'm going with this. But how many of you have rolled out the red carpet and did things for your family? Yeah? And there was no thank you. And then somebody else who wasn't as familiar with you. Or should, you know what I mean? They're the ones that come and show that depth of gratitude. Well, Jesus was so overcome by this man's thanks and his recognition of who he was that he makes a statement. Jesus said to the healed man, now the man's healed. You got to understand, he's healed. He's got his physical healing. I wonder what he looked like. Because, you know, one minute he's probably missing part of his limbs and his fingers are falling off and his skin is all bad. And now he's healed. What more could he need, right? He's still traumatized. He has still lived the last few years as an outcast or more, cut off, a social reject. You can be healed physically and your heart still hurt. You can still have deep soul wounds. Amen? So Jesus says, arise and go. It was your faith that brought you salvation and made you whole. That man got saved. What good does it do if your body gets healed and your soul isn't saved? This man recognized him as Messiah, as God, and the Lord, through his gratitude and his recognition of who he was, said to a healed man, now you're made whole. So I wanted to just begin there tonight and say this. Thankfulness leads to wholeness. It leads to wholeness. And if you're broken in any area of your life right now, I want to encourage you to begin to just thank God. Bill Johnson preached an amazing message this week on thankfulness. But he said, when you're in a mode of gratitude, that thankfulness transcends every negative emotion. It gets you out of that negative emotion. You can't complain and grumble and gripe and be expressing gratitude at the same time. I also want to remind you that gratitude, thankfulness on the part of Jesus was part of the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Jesus took what they had, a couple fish and five loaves of bread, and they weren't really loaves, they were like these little biscuits. There's a difference between a loaf of bread and a biscuit, yeah? But when he took it, it says he lifted it up to the Father, and he began to thank the Father for it. And as he was thanking the Father for it and blessing it, a miracle started to take place. The Father infused his multiplying anointing into that natural substance, what? Through gratitude and blessing. And now it gets put back into the hands of the people who thought, how are we going to feed all these people? And they get to be part of the miracle. But you got to understand, the miracle didn't happen just because, you know, Jesus took the bread. It was because he lifted it up to the Father and thanked the Father for it and broke it. How many of you have seen miracles happen when you were down to the last little bit of food? I literally have seen God stretch things for me. Yeah? Maybe not to feed 5,000 people, but we should always be thankful for our food. That's why I'm mortified when I get around people and they just start eating. And it's not a religious thing for me. It's just I was brought up that every bite that goes in your mouth, you need to take a moment and pause and just give thanks for that food. And I know that's none of you because you're perfect. You're all perfect. But I raise my kids to give thanks, and it blesses my heart. My grandchildren still will pray over their food, you know. And so when we get together as a family, we always pause and give thanks. I want to encourage you to never stop doing that. And if you haven't started, it's a good time to get started. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, thank God in everything, in it. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. If you don't know what the will of God is for you, start right there. It's that you would be thankful in every circumstance. It doesn't say be thankful for it, but be thankful in it. You know, I'm thankful in the good times. I'm thankful in the hard times. And when things get bad, I get more thankful. Because the external things are trying to cause all kinds of disruption in my soul. But the way I keep my soul well is I start focusing on all the things I'm thankful for. And I want to encourage you to get a gratitude journal and start writing down some things you're thankful for and be intentional to say thank you. There shouldn't be a day that goes by that you don't get up in the morning and start launching into a few things that you're thankful for. Amen. One of the things I say to the Lord most every morning is I tell him, you're my dad, and I dwell in your house. I dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And I rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I thank you that, Daddy, you're so close that I can rest in your shadow. You know, you got to be close to someone to be in their shadow. Yeah? I rest in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. And then I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and He is my shelter. He is my God in whom I trust. So you can't just know that you live at Daddy's house and that you rest in His shadow. You need to say so. Yeah? You need to open your mouth and say so. And so I always tell him, man, Lord, I thank you so much, Dad. You're a good dad. There's food in your house. There's rest in your house. You're my dad. You're the Most High. You're over it all. Think about that. There's nothing going on down here that you're not over. You're the Most High. Yeah? And you're so big that you cast shade on everything. But that's okay. I'll stand in your shade. I'll rest in your shade. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. I'm never alone. And I say those things often, most every day. That's Psalm 91, by the way, 1 and 2. But it's just a good place to be, to know that you're in the shelter, in the fortress of Abba, of Daddy, and that He's watching out for you. I wanted to remind you of this. Thankfulness transcends our circumstances. And here's why. Because it's not rooted in what we face, but it's rooted in the one we worship. The one we worship. And one of the best ways to worship God is through thankfulness. The psalmist said this as the people assembled. He said, give thanks to the Lord. When you assemble, give thanks to the Lord. You know, our thankfulness is a witness for Him to the nations. It says in Psalm 105:1, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world, the nations, know what He has done. Every time we say, thank you, Lord, and then we tell someone what He's done, or we declare His goodness, we're letting the nations know that God is alive and well, and that He's the one we worship. Amen? And so the Apostle Paul said this, and I want to end not on a negative note necessarily, but we have to be careful about this. He described a lack of thankfulness as an indicator of a lack of love and reverence for our Creator. He said that the rejection of God is expressed by a lack of thankfulness to Him. Whoa. In Romans 12, or 1:21, it says, because when they knew and recognized Him as God, this is sad. They knew and recognized Him as God. They did not honor and glorify Him as God or give Him thanks. Watch this. This is the result. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking, with vain imaginings, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculations. And their senseless minds were darkened. Think about that. That's sobering. And it goes back up right there. It says, because they did not honor and glorify Him as God and give Him thanks. Much of the spirit of stupid that we see out there right now is directly linked to that right there. This is what happens to your mind. It lists it right there, vain imaginings. I kind of meditated on that this week. There's so many people right now that are building scenarios in their head. They start living up in their head. Have you ever been there? Where you start imagining the worst? And you just, it's vanity. I mean, it just, it's just vain imagining. It just wears you out. You know that you can stop that? By acknowledging him as God and starting to give him thanks. That's foolish reasoning. I've seen people like, they were so smart, they were serving God, they were worshiping the Lord, they were doing great, and then all of a sudden, they got mad at God. They start blaming God. They're no longer grateful. They're not grateful for the blood. They're not grateful for their salvation. I mean, I've known people that have gotten healed by God, and then something didn't go their way, and they forgot that God healed them. Just because you get healed, there's no guarantee that you're going to walk in reverence for God long term. How many of you have seen this happen? It's a very sad thing. Now all of a sudden you talk to them and you can't even like, you're like, Some of the stuff they're doing, it falls in that category of foolish reasoning. It's like, how did you come to that conclusion? God still loves them. He's still God. But now their mind is being given over to this darkened state. Do you know that your soul can be saved and on your way to heaven and you still have a confused and crazy mind because you're not operating in the mind of Christ? There's something to what I'm telling you right now. If we want to keep our mind clear and we want to operate at top performance and we want to walk in the wisdom of God, it would behoove us to get up every day and acknowledge him as God and give him thanks. Amen? And I want to be in that category. I don't want to fall into this whole dark reasoning, foolish reasoning, stupid speculation, and vain imagination category. Because you know what? As I'm studying right now, the end times, and I'm about ready to start taking you guys through the whole chronology of the end times and how close we really are to the Lord, to the Lord's return for the church anyways, him taking the church out of here. I mean, the more I look at this stuff, I'm like, man, I get up and say thank you every single day because the Bible says that if he doesn't shorten the days, even the elect will be deceived, that they will come under strong delusion. And I'm looking around at some people right now, I'm like, they're delusional. Amen? And I love them, but I mean, like, I'm not joining the delusional camp. But you get around them, they're like parrots. They'll tell you more of what the media is saying and what's going on in the economy and all the fear-mongering stuff. And they'll just talk about it. I said, well, what is God doing? They don't know what God is doing. It's like their minds have become darkened to the goodness of God. And I'm like, I just want to ask them, like, what are you thankful for? I asked someone one day, I'm like, well, what is God doing? Because they were telling me about all the things the devil was doing. And I said, what is God doing? And they looked at me like, what? I said, well, what are you grateful for right now? What are you thankful for? Well, and they said like one or two things and then went right back off into, but this, and this is going on. And I'm like, man, it was so bad. You try to steer them, right? Steer them back to the Lord. And they don't want nothing to do with it. Just on a trajectory of negative and darkness and demonic stuff. And I know that's none of you because you're perfect. That's right. But I wanted to give you a balanced scale tonight. God is good. He's worthy of our thanks. He shed his blood, as Pastor Simone and Sarah sang about tonight. And we need to start there. If we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, that's the greatest gift this side of heaven and in eternity that we will ever have received. And we need to thank God for his reconciling work. And then the second thing is give thanks for both what he gives and what he withholds. And what he withholds. I've learned to say thank you for what God has withheld. I've learned to say thank you for the no's. Oh man, I was going through a list today of things I was thinking, oh God, I want this. You will withhold no good thing from me because I'm walking upright before you. And, you know, I just knew God was not going to withhold it from me because I thought it was good. And then all of a sudden, God didn't think it was good because he withheld it. How many of you ever thought something was good and then you found out later it wasn't? Because God's all wise, he withheld it. You need to thank God for that, that he's smarter than you. Yes? I mean, I even sowed a seed. Oh, he will withhold no good thing from me because I walk uprightly before me. Me trying to tell God, this is a good thing, and I need this, and I want this. And I didn't get it. And then later, because he's so smart and he's my dad, he just waited until it outed itself. And then he's like, see, honey, that's why I withheld it. And now I can say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. We need to thank God for what he gives and what he withholds. And one of the things I've learned is if it's being withheld, it's either not time or it's not good. Amen? And then we need to give thanks for the blessings that God gives, because everything that comes from the Father is a blessing. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. He is perfect, and he's never going to change. And he's constantly releasing blessing. And if we get so focused on problems, and we get so focused on what's wrong, we won't see the solutions, and we won't see what's right. And I really want to be more grateful than I've ever been this year. I'm grateful that we're still together. I'm grateful that COVID didn't take all of you beautiful people out. I'm grateful that we were able to keep the doors open. I'm grateful that we're stronger now than we have ever been. I'm grateful that the best is yet to come, because heaven's yet to come. And it don't get no better than that. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's take communion. You can clap. You can clap for him. I want to read this scripture to you. And before we do, it says this in Colossians 3:15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other. Let's stop right there. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. So it's the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ that keeps us in step and in tune. If you aren't in harmony right now with each other, with anyone in your life, I encourage you to go and spend some time with the Lord. And let his peace overwhelm your soul. Because when you have been in the peace of God, spending time in his presence, it's much easier to be peaceful with other people. Amen. Paul says this, none of this going off and doing your own thing. And here's our instruction. Cultivate thankfulness. Cultivate it. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Watch this. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. There's two instructions in there that really stand out. Cultivate thankfulness and thank God the Father every step of the way. That word cultivate, that means to tend to it, like a gardener. Amen? watch it as it's growing or not growing. How many of you are green thumbs or you're good at growing plants? Okay, most of you are not then. So that's a good word for us tonight, right? Somebody help me with this. I don't have a headset. Can you peel that for me, Simone? Pimoni? You have one open already? Okay. What time is it? Oh, I'm doing so good. I was going to get you out of here by 8 o'clock. It's 8:02, so we're doing good. I want you to think about that word cultivate just for a moment. Cultivate. You know why plants die? Somebody laughed. Do you know why they die? Okay. You can, yeah, you're like, you can drown them. You can drown them. So you need to learn to cultivate it. So that means you gotta figure out that plant's need, right? And give it that. Plants die because they don't get sunlight, or they don't get fertilized, or they get root bound. I had a beautiful topiary that I'd had for a long time, and it croaked on me, and it was getting the same amount of water and light as all the others, but my son pulled it out of that pot, and it was just this big hard ball of root. And so, you know, sometimes you have to take it out and put more soil around it and, you know, tend to it, because you can become all knotted up inside, and you need to spread your roots out a little bit. You can't stay in the same confining place. You need to give yourself some room to grow. And so Paul is talking here about thankfulness, and he's saying, you know, don't choke it out. Don't drown it out. Don't put it in darkness and not give it light. I mean, you got to look at it and make sure it's doing well, and pay attention to your gratitude. You need to cultivate it. Yeah? So he's telling them, you know, stay in harmony with one another and let the peace of Christ keep you in step, keep you in tune. But don't just move in sync. While you're doing it, cultivate thankfulness. Look around at the people around you that are doing things and any little thing, and make sure you express gratitude to them. And thank the Father every step of the way as you're working together, as you're moving together in marriage, as you're moving together in covenant relationships. Dr. Gottman from the Gottman Research Council, who is the greatest relationship counselor, I believe, of my lifetime, he said he could predict divorce with a 99.8% accuracy based on one thing. And they would videotape and watch couples, and even people in entrepreneurial relationships as teams. He could predict the demise of a business relationship based on one thing: contempt. He said contempt is to a relationship what arsenic is to your human body. Is to speak in a way that puts a person down and elevates you in a superior way over them. It's to make someone feel stupid. It's to speak to them in a demeaning way. And he said 99.8% of the time, that's only 0.02%, very small percent, that could survive that. And that's probably somebody who's like Mother Teresa, you know, mega Holy Ghost person. You can't live like that. So he said the only way that he could change that scenario and make that relationship healthy and survive a contempt attack, he calls it the dark horse of relationships, the black horse, is to take those team members and those couples and put them in a room and make them play gratitude tennis. And they sometimes, it felt so awkward and so, they couldn't even hardly get started.
Well, I'm thankful for.
Okay, it's your turn.
Well, I'm thankful for.
Hit the ball back, right? And they had to keep it going. Pretty soon, you know, if they could do it and they could keep it going, they'd start laughing, start smiling, would change the whole atmosphere. And that would just be one of their exercises. After they did that, and they actually engaged, they go back, they'd be more clear, they'd be more productive, they'd be less fighting, less bickering. And if they could continue that every day as an exercise, and they did it from their heart, first time it was usually just because they had to. And they'd come the next day actually thinking about all the things they were grateful for, they could start to see a turnaround, and many of those marriages were saved. Many of those teams were saved. But if they refused to do the exercise and they came back, well, you did this and you did that and you said this. And he was like, I can't work with them. 99.8% of the time, that team experienced demise or that marriage ended. That's how important that is. Amen? So we're going to thank the Lord for his blood, and we're going to thank him for his body that makes us whole. But also, as we go out this year, when bad things happen to you, I want you to do the most supernatural thing that you could possibly do, and that is stop and start giving thanks. As soon as it happens, just stop and start giving thanks. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. Find something that you're thankful for, especially if it's with regards to a person. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, God, I thank you for the experience of being betrayed. I thank you for that because it taught me how to respond in love. It taught me how to set boundaries. It taught me how, right, to not get offended. It taught me how to lean into you. And so I just want to drive that home. Be thankful in the good times, but when the bad stuff happens, okay? When the bad stuff happens, I want you to do the most supernatural thing you can do, and that is to start to be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances, regardless of what they are, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, Lord, we thank you for your body tonight. We take this bread tonight because you said, do this often in remembrance of you. We honor your body, Lord, that was broken so that we could be made whole. Not just saved, but be made whole. And as we say thank you tonight, like the leper who returned to you and received wholeness, I ask you right now to heal any soul wound that is represented in this room right now. Any fracture, any trauma, anything that has happened in the lives of these loved ones that has brought pain to them, I pray as they eat the bread tonight and they drink the blood, that they would walk out of here with wholeness in their soul. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Lord, we honor the blood that you shed. We thank you for redemption. We thank you for salvation. And we thank you for wholeness. In Jesus' name, go ahead and drink it. Amen. I'm going to pray a closing prayer over all of us. God, as we leave this place tonight, I thank you that we don't leave from your presence, but we leave with it, that we never are apart from you. I pray that as we are meeting with family and spending time with our loved ones, that there would be a sense of your peace. So many people are fighting and squabbling, and they dread the holidays because they have to be around people that they don't particularly want to spend time with, and that's just too bad. But I pray that this word we ended with tonight, Lord, that the peace of Christ would keep us in tune with each other and in step with each other would be our reality. I pray blessing over every household, fellowship, and I pray that you would be glorified and honored as we give you thanks in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.